أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. In the blessed book زاد المستقنع, the famous متن in the كتاب الطهارة, in the باب الاستنجاء, we get to the next category, which is the مكروهات في يعني الخلاء. طيب, so we talked about things that are واجب or فرض. That's one category. Then that which is mustahab, then that which is mubah, then that which is makruh, and that which is haram. And inshallah, tulab ilm have memorized these usulul khamsa. How do we know something to be wajib? Tayyib. I mean, I'm going to teach you just a little thing from usulul fiqh to benefit. When the shari'a, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who ordained the shari'a, the shari'a, when he ordained something, يعني that is لازم, that is يعني with an order, بأمر, whether in the Quran or in the Sahih Ahadith of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, then the أمر, it guides us to know this is وجوب, and this is something obligatory. طيب, if something is ordained or done by Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم as a part of عبادات, not عادات, يعني something that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم did on his own life, يعني with his own preferences, maybe a style of drink or food he preferred, that is adat, this is urf. Yani what the Arabs ate at the time, what he preferred, is from himself. But if he ordained something for us, like eating with the right hand, ordered it, then it becomes wajib. If he did it in ibadah without iltizam, yani without making it obligatory, without ordering, without bidun amr, or he gave an amr, but then he gave a rukhsa, like he didn't do it sometimes to show that it's not wajib, then that becomes mustahab. Once I made a video without anything on my head, and many people, they told me, what happened? You lost your kufi, you lost your ghutra, you lost your shimag, you lost your imama. I didn't lose any of them, nor was I trying to show that I have hair. But I did it so people could see that it is not wajib, it's not obligatory that all the time you cover your hair. Rather, yani as Shaykh al-Albani and others said, it's mustahab. So sometimes the Prophet ﷺ would also do things to show that it's not obligatory. Tayyib? So this is something that makes it mustahab. If there is an amr that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet ﷺ, and with the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, did not ordain or condemn, ikhtiyar is given, this is mubah. If something is shown to be better for leaving, but there is no azab, there is no punishment, no hudud, no emphasis on the sin of it, then this is a makruh, makruhat. Tayyib, and that's what we're going to be studying today. Just to finish, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained something to be left, yani made man' on it, give us an amr that you must not do this, tayyib, then this becomes haram, and within there are other categories. So today we begin with makruhat, and with that muqaddama, inshallah you understand. فَيَكْرَهُ دُخُولُ فِي شَيْءٍ فِيهِ ذِكْرَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. طيب, دخول أي شيء, يعني ما هو الدمير لهنا لل يعني البيت الخلاء. The muallif begins with the makruhat. We talked about mustahabbat, we completed those. Now we get to those things that are makruh, which are disliked. Better to leave them. Tayyib. The first thing he mentions here, that it is makruh to enter it. Enter what? Al-khala. Tayyib. I mentioned this before, but I'm going to emphasize. What is al-khala? I need to be clear. For example, you go to the masjid and there is a place of wudu, then this is not al-khala. But if you go to a place that is used for the bawl, or yani urination or defecation, then this, that place is al-khala. So to enter it with anything that has the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is something makruh according to the muallif, and this is the madhab, and this is the qawl of the jumhur, yani majority of the ulama from the different madhahib and the ulama of the past and present. I'm one of those people that I love adilla, I love proofs, I love to know that what we're following is in the light of what is authentically established from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So I did a lot of research on this, and looking at different books or different madahib and adilla. There are a number of ahadith that prove this mas'ala. Tayyib. For example, the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, and this I want to make a point. It was not just reported from Anas radiyallahu anhu. It was reported from Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu as well, and Amr ibn Asim radiyallahu anhu, and many of the Sahaba. So through many chains, this hadith has been reported. طيب. In it, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا دخل الخلاء نزع خاتمه. Rasulullah ﷺ used to have a ring. And this ring was not for beautification. Yani this ring was something that Rasulullah ﷺ used for his stamp. Yani, but this tells you that for a man to have a ring, there is jawaz because Rasulullah ﷺ had one. So this ring was used as a stamp. This is mentioned in the Sahihain, in the Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim and other Kutub al-Hadith, that Rasulullah ﷺ used to have a ring and it was made out of silver. And there are yani, many ahadith that show about that it said Muhammad Rasulullah on it, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and when he would send a letter, he would use it as a stamp to seal the letter. Tayyib. So this hadith tells us, the one from Anas radiyallahu, and it's been reported by the Sahaba radiyallahu as well, that Rasulullah would take it off when going into al-khala. Al-khala, it comes from the word khali, yani from empty. And what it is, this is the place where it's not a place of dhikr and sitting, and it's a place that's, yani you go, you empty yourself, it's an empty place, and you come back, you get done what you have to do. So here, yani this is a dalil. Tayyib, the hadith that Rasulullah had a ring, this is no doubt sahih. But this hadith, there is illa in it, there is an objection to it. And Hammam is one of the rawat yani here, and he mentioned this from Ibn Juraij, and then from also from Zuhri, and I'm not going to go too deep into the yani the takhrij of it, but many of the a'imma and ulama, including Imam Abu Dawud and others, they said there is a defect in this hadith. There's also the issue of Ibn Juraij using an, which is using tadlis and so on and so on. So there is weakness here. Having said that, as I mentioned, there are many asanid for this hadith. Imam Hakim authenticated them. Imam Tirmidhi said, Hasan Sahih Gharib. Yani he said, it is at a very high level, Hasan Sahih, even if the chain that he was looking at was singular. Now, there is another hadith that Imam Al-Bayhaqi and others have mentioned. And this is where it mentioned, إِذَا دَخَلَ الْخَلَىٰ يعني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وَدْعَهُ يعني الخاتم. Another hadith that when Rasulullah used to enter the bathroom, he would hold or grab the ring. What does that mean? He would turn it so the Muhammad Rasulullah would be inside, and he would then close his hand so the saying Muhammad Rasulullah would not be exposed, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he would cover it up, he would hold it, and then he would enter the khala. This is mentioned by a number of Sahaba radiyahum as well, and Imam Al-Bayhaqi and Ad-Darqutni and others have mentioned it. Again, there are علل, there are textual defects, and there is يعني some of the a'imma and ulama criticize this narration as well. Imam al-Mundari, he mentions in al-Awsat, which is the book right here, al-Awsat, he mentioned that rakhasa, يعني he gives three opinions amongst the ulama of Islam about this mas'ala. One, those that said it was permissible to enter the bathroom even with a ring that was showing the name of Allah. Then amongst them is Ibn Musayyib, yani Sa'id ibn Musayyib, Al-Hasan al-Basri, and Ibn Sirin. And these are major tabi'een. So this is one opinion. The second is that yani that yaj'ala yani al-khatim fi batin al-kaffihi. The second opinion is you turn it, and if you have a ring. Again, for men, you shouldn't be having necklaces and so on. But for a woman, if she has a necklace with some of the ayat of Quran, what she would do is she would hide them. If she's going to the bathroom, if it's a ring, you turn it inside out. So you hide it out of respect. And they mentioned the hadith that I read earlier as a dalil for the second opinion. And Imam Ahmad and others, they held this opinion. And Ikrama, the famous tabi'i. Then the third opinion, naza'a, يعني to take it off. And this is qawl al-jamhur. This is the opinion of the majority of the ulama. And as I went to the books of the different madhahib, this is a very common opinion that you find from many of the tabi'un and sahaba and so on. And they use both adilla. What is rajih from Imam Ahmad himself? And what is the madhab? Is that you, if it is easy, you take it off. You do not take it into the bathroom. This is the madhab, naza'. And if it's difficult, then you can put it and hide it. Yani if you turn a ring, if you're afraid to leave the ring outside the bathroom, then maybe somebody will steal it or so on. Then you turn it and you hide it, and there is jawaz there. Here, regarding the ahadith, no doubt there are those who found illah in it. But then if you go into the takhrij of these with Ibn Mulaqqin and Ibn Hajar and others, yani there is also those imma and ulama that said the rijal are thiqat, and that there are many narrations, so this is thabit, and it is proven. Tayyib. Even those who found illah, yani those found some textual defects in it, if we take them not as contradictory narrations to others, but as independent narrations, you would say that there is at least something you can call hasan li ghayrihi, where the tadlis and the yani illah can be addressed by supporting narrations. If we leave all of that out, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahmatul alayh, yani what did he say in Sharh al-Mumti'? He said afdal an la yadkhal, yani it's better if you don't take another. There's difference between saying that it's makruh and saying that it would just be better not to do it. Afdal, yani he's saying if we cannot establish the hadith to be sahih, then we can at least say it's better out of respect for the kalam of Allah. Whether it's, and again, we're not talking about the mushaf yet, we're talking about just if you have an ayah of Quran, like some of the sisters have necklace with ayatul kursi or so on, that respectfully it's better to hide it and take it off and not to go into the bathroom with it exposed. Wallahu alam. But looking at the different asanid, even if we say that they are not independently authentic, we can say because of the number of different asanid and no serious weaknesses in any of them, and no serious weakness in any of the chains, that this hukam is thabitun, yani it is proven, and this is a madhab, and this is what has adilla. So we say that it's better that if somebody is going to the bathroom, they do not enter with something that has the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they need to, then they need to hide it. And if they have a chain, they need to hide it. For the sisters, for the brothers, you shouldn't be wearing chains to begin with. For the ring, for the brothers, you need to turn it and hide it. So that, yani, this is something that can be taken as a minimum, and best to take it off and don't take it into the bathroom. Now, even though the Mu'allif doesn't mention it here, as in Rawat al-Murbi', Imam al-Buyuti, and in Kashf al-Qina' and other books, he mentions that this is not about the Mus'haf. The Mus'haf, the Kitab of Allah, Kalam of Allah, this is haram to take into the bathroom, according to the madhab. And there are many adilla that they may bring about the tahreem of disrespecting the mushaf by taking it into the bathroom, and how the bathroom is not a place for qiraat of Quran and to take, and so on and so on. So if something has any mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it's makruh to take it into the bathroom without hiding it, as the madhab has stated. And if it is the Quran itself, then to have it brandished or open in the bathroom would be haram. Tayyib, I'm going to make an aqeedah point here. Tayyib, this is the fiqh issue you will find across madhahib. Yani in different madhahib, different books, you will find this, right? And any average Muslim will understand this, even if they don't understand the intricacy of the adillah that we've mentioned. They will understand that to sit with the Quran open inside the bathroom is disrespectful. If you go to any village and illiterate Muslims, but you see them reading the mushaf, reading the Quran in the bathroom, everybody will get up and beat them, tell them, what's wrong with you guys, right? But what about those who hold the misguided belief of wahdatul wujud? Those who say that Allah is physically in every place, physically, yani not with his knowledge and his sight. Then what about those, you are saying that it is haram to take the book of Allah into the bathroom. You are saying it's makruh to even take anything that has a dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into the bathroom. But then you're saying Allah is physically in that place of najasa. Na'udhu billah. Na'udhu billah. La. Ar-Rahmanu ala arsh istawa. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ta'ala, far above. Allah makes nuzul to the last sama. Yes, why? It's proven from Sahih Ahadith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is everywhere in his knowledge and sight. Allah sees everything, hears everything. But in his dhat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in the Quran, he's above his arsh. So this was a side point, but inshallah beneficial for aqeedah. Tayyib, illa lihajatin, yani except when there is haja. For example, you have a ring, you want to take it off, but you're afraid somebody will steal it. So if you take it with you, hidden, خلاص يعني this is a necessity. If you have a mushaf, يعني the best not to take it to the bathroom. But let's say you're afraid that يعني somebody will steal it or so on, then you can wrap it up and hide it and so on and so on. You can try to find some way around it بالحاجة يعني if you have a necessity. And this is something that is obviously understood. If some sister has like a gold chain that has ayat of Quran, best not to have these kinds of things. But if they have it, then they want to go into the bathroom and they're afraid to take it off, then they hide it because this is haja. Tayyib. Next, raf'a thawbihi. Tayyib. To raise the thawb. What is the meaning of this? Let me explain before I continue with the mas'ala. When you go to the bathroom inside of a house or a toilet where there's a door that you shut and you lock and there is nobody there, then if you raise your thawb before sitting or whatever else, this is fine because you are protected. You should say Bismillah before going in the bathroom to protect your awrah from the jinn, and there's no insan there. So khalas, you can go do that, no problem with that. But if you are going to go and answer the call of nature outside, طيب, so this is makruh, this is not tahrim. So to take off your izar or your thawb or your silwar or your pants or whatever where somebody can see your awra is haram. That's haram, that's not what we're discussing here. But for example, if you're wearing an izar and you start to take up your thawb to sit down so you can answer the call of nature away from people, even then it's makruh to raise up your thawb early, so maybe somebody far away can see a part of your leg or yourself, or the danger of your awrah being exposed is there. So just out of haya, out of a great shyness, a great protection for the awrah of the Muslim and for having that good manners, it is makruh raf'a thawbihi, to raise a thawb qabla, before going down towards the earth. So you raise it when you're trying to sit, while you're getting close, not when you're standing and you're taking your thawb off and you're taking your izar up and you're still standing, even if you're away from people, even if somebody cannot directly see your awrah, but you should have haya. And that's why this is from the makruhat to do that, because it puts in the danger that somebody can see your awrah or something close to that. And in it, there is the sahih hadith reported by Abu Dawud and al-Tirmidhi and al-Bayhaqi, and Shaykh al-Albani authenticated as well, and as Ibn Mundir and other a'imma and ulama of the past, they really, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to have arada lihaja, and when he used to go for qada al-haja, la yarfa thawbihi, he did not raise his thawb until he got close to min al-ard, and close to the ground. So this is a clear dalil that to raise up your clothes or to take off your clothes when you're outside without necessity, even if people can't see your awra, but to open up that danger is something makruh. وكلامه فيه, and to speak in the bathroom. طيب, so now I hope you brothers and sisters watching are numbering these from the makruhat. So the first one was دخول في الخلاء وفيه مع أي شيء فيه ذكر الله تعالى, entering the bathroom with something that has a dhikr of Allah, that's one. Second was to raise the thawb before starting to descend or towards the ground for qada al-haja, unnecessarily exposing yourself to the danger of somebody might seeing you see something from your awrah. To show the awrah or to do that would be mutlaqan haram, that would be separate. Tayyib, the third makruh from the makruhat is kalam, is speaking in the bathroom. Again, illa bihaja, unless there's a necessity. If you're in the bathroom and the door is not locked and you're afraid somebody's going to come in and see your awrah for you to say, hey, somebody's in here, or in that way, there is jawaz there. There is a permissibility there. Why? Because there is a necessity, al-haja there. But dun al-haja, without haja, the bathroom is not a place to hold conversations. Subhanallah, this is something ajeeb you see today. People sitting in a stall and somebody sitting next to them and they're having conversations and they're talking and they're laughing. Na'udhu billah, we were once myself in the Bay Area and there was a man who called himself a Sufi. I'm not saying he was, he's saying he was, so he was, right? And he would sit there and say, Allah, Allah, subhanallah. And even during Salah in Jama'ah, we stood up to make Salah in Jama'ah, he didn't pray with us. He sat in the back of the masjid, Allah, Allah, ajeeb. One of the brothers saw him, he went into the bathroom, into al-khala, into the toilet where you urinate and defecate, close the door, and inside he's like, Allah, Allah. Astaghfirullah, the brother who heard him was in the next stall, he told him, Astaghfirullah. He didn't want him to say the name of Allah, so he said Astaghfirullah out of accident. He also said the name of Allah, and the man just continued to say Allah, and this man told him, don't say the name of Allah in the bathroom. And then he got upset because he said the name of Allah in the bathroom. So this is something, yani, to say the name of Allah, to make tilawah, obviously is wrong. But even just to talk in the bathroom is makruh unnecessarily. Yani, hey, what is the dalil for this? We mentioned that we want to follow adilla, the hadith in Sahih Muslim, where from Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, that anna rajulan marra Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and once a man, he passed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yabul. And Rasulullah was doing qada al-haja far away, but this man started to walk in a year shot of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa sallama. So he said salamu alaykum to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, falam yurad alayhi. So Rasulullah did not respond to him. And then in the longer version of the hadith, that afterwards Rasulullah explained to him, this is not the place of salam and so on. So because of this clear Sahih hadith that's mentioned through many asanid, including in Sahih Muslim, yani Sahih Muslim, so no doubt to it, this is something that is makruh in the bathroom unnecessarily. To mention the name of Allah then can even go under tahreem, or qirat of Quran, that's under tahreem, a separate issue. But even kalam in the bathroom is makruh. Tayyib, wa bawluhu fi shaqin aw nahwihi, or to urinate into a hole in the ground or the like, the cracks in the earth. Tayyib, yani nowadays we have toilets. Usually, alhamdulillah, most of us have toilets, and to urinate in those toilets and defecate is no problem. But if you're out camping, or if you're out in the desert, or if you're out in another country, what would happen is people would go out to the desert side or away from the people, and then they would find a place to urinate. As we mentioned, the last dars, it's best to find a soft place where urine doesn't splash. So people would look for a hole, and they would urinate in the hole. And this is something that is makruh. And there are a few reasons. One of them being that because of the fact that animals live in those holes and they can be harmed. Yani maybe lizards or snakes or scorpions, and they can harm you. Yani, one, you're harming other animals, you're urinating on them, urine is not something nice. And secondly, when you urinate in that, if a scorpion or a snake is living in it, it might come out and attack you, so it can harm you. The another reason here is the fact that there are jinn that live in these kinds of places, and there is the hadith of Sa'ad ibn Abada radiallahu anhu when he was in Sham, and he did this, and he had a problem with jinn after this and so on. And this hadith is mentioned by Tabrani and Al-Hakim, and he authenticated it. So this also, and with many other adilla, tells us there is also a danger of jinn if you go to the outside areas and urinate and or defecate or so on in holes and cracks in the ground, where it may be a place of residence for them. And because we have adilla here, we leave this there without going deep into the masail there. Tayyib, so the next one after this, mashu farjihi bi yaminihi, yani to touch the private with your right hand. This is something that we find in a sahih, yani al Bukhari and Muslim, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbid touching the awra, the private parts, the farj, male or female, with the right hand. The right hand is for the cleanliness of Islam, to shake hands and to eat and to hold the mushaf and to give and take. It is yani something makruh to give people things with the left hand. Today, nowadays, people are very common at this, they give things with the left hand. But no, when we give and take, we should give and take with the right hand. When you hold the Quran, it should be with your right hand. When you write yani something Islamic and things like this, then it's always preferable to use the right. Yani, even if you're left-handed, for touching the mushaf, you should use your right hand. Even if you're left-handed, for shaking hand, you should use... You can use your left hand for other things, like shooting arrows or whatever else, because some of the Sahaba did. Some of the Sahaba were left-handed. But even then, for eating and shaking hands, they would use their right hand, because it's not a system just for individuals, for a whole society. It's a whole clean society. So it's makruh to touch the private parts of the right hand. And there is the sahih clear dalil from Bukhari and Muslim. So there is no any issue with adilla here. وَإِسْتِنْجَاءَهُ وَإِسْتِجْمَارُهُ بِهَا, يعني when you make استنجاء, when you're actually washing, you do not use your right hand. You use the right hand for the water, you use your left hand for watching. And if you make استجمار, يعني with toilet paper or stones or whatever else you have available for the dry ablution, then once again, you do not use your right hand to take the najasa off, you use your left hand. For istinja, for istijmar, to touch the private, you always use your left hand. Your right hand is for clean things. طيب. So all those things would be makruh. طيب, the next thing he mentioned as being makruh is استقباله النورين يعني نويرين, which is the two lights. So what are the two lights or the two يعني lit objects, them being the sun and the moon. He mentions here from the makruhat that it is makruh, and this is the mu'tamid of the madhab and of many other madhahib. Yani this is something we find in many of the a'imma and ulama, that is makruh to face towards the sun and the moon while defecating and urinating. But I will clarify some things. First thing, this is for when you're outside. If you're inside a closed room or a closed bathroom or a closed area, or there is a wall, then there is no karaha here. Okay? So what is the mas'ala? This is the mas'ala if you're out in an open field and there is a sun is out and you're facing the sun, or if the moon is out and you are facing the moon, then according to يعني, the madhab, this is something makruh. And you will find this in the mu'tamid books of the madhab. Having said that, there is no clear dalil for this. I looked and looked and looked. Many imma and ulama mentioned adilla, one of them being that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the sun eclipsed at the death of his son, he said, the sun does not eclipse at the death of anybody. This is one of the ayat of Allah, one of the signs of Allah. And the sun and the moon are signs from the signs of Allah. So, ihtaraman, out of ihtaram for that, you should not face it. Other a'imma and ulama mentioned other يعني ta'leelan, they mentioned other methods of why. They said, for example, if it's dark and you're facing the moon in a dark night, it might light you so that you're يعني, because you're facing it, the light of the moon may expose your awra more. But these are all ba'eed, يعني, these are all it's a stretch. There is no clear dalil for this. So like Shaykhun Ibn Uthaymeen and other ulama from the madhab said that this is not something established. Other a'imma and ulama from the madhab, like some of my own shuyukh, they said this is done ihtaraman and adaban, but not bi kirahan. What does that mean? The sun and the moon are things that have been mentioned in the Quran. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said these are the ayat of Allah. There are many adilla that show that this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given that nur to them. So out of adab, out of etiquette, if you're out in the open, it is not good to face them, but we cannot say makruhan because of the lack of adilla, even if this is the madhab. So inshallah, we'll stop here. We finish the makruhat and we'll begin the things that are haram in khala at the next dars, inshallah ta'ala.